None of the mics are working. Hello?
How about this? Are we on? What a great beginning. It's the Vox Pop. We'll talk nutrition today with, it sounds a little odd to me, with Nicole Rodriguez, who is an award-winning dietitian nutritionist based in the New York City metro area. You know, New Year's is a time of resolutions. Most of them have fallen by the wayside right about now. We'll talk about easy ways to improve your eating and health. Call us, if you will, if you can hear me. 800-348-2551 is the number. Hello! 800-348-2551. We'll be back after the news.
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3. Is this thing on? Oh, I sound pretty good now. How you doing out there? I'm Ray Graff. Hey, you know what? It's Vox Pop, and the mics work, and it's great. It was a terrible start to the show, but what a show it's going to be. Nicole Rodriguez is here. She's an award-winning dietitian nutritionist based in the New York metro area. She serves a diverse clientele via her telehealth-based practice. She's passionate about empowering us to feel good about the abundance of food choices at our fingertips. She utilizes her co-hosting duties on the Food Bullying podcast to do that. If you have a question about nutrition and diet, give us a call, 800-348-2551. To be clear, there was a little technical snafu at the beginning of the show, but Zach Malloy and Rob Chacon fixed it all up, and it's great. 800-348-2551 is the number if you want to call in. You can email us as well at voxpop@wamc.org. Nicole Rodriguez, how you doing?
Fantastic. How are you doing now?
Well, my day has not been that great thus far, but now it's really taking a turn. It's nice now. Good to see you again.
It's good times.
So we were talking briefly before all hell broke loose here about an event that you spoke at recently. And, you know, I talked at the beginning of the show, for those who could hear it, or maybe we sent it out in semaphore, I don't know. But, you know, about New Year's resolutions, and right around this time, a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to do this, I'm going to diet, and then it just sort of goes by the wayside because it's a big mountain to climb for some of us. And you, at this presentation you gave, talked about easy ways to eat better and live better.
Yeah, so I think part of your, a lot of people like to call it a journey, right? I'm going on this journey of improving my health, improving my nutrition, et cetera. A lot of it is about meeting yourself where you currently are, right? And not saying like, oh, well, you know, if you're working out 0 times per week, saying you're going to go 5 times is a little ambitious, but also setting yourself up for failure. So I always encourage people to reach for some of the low-hanging fruit, right? So like, what are the really easy things that don't cost anything that are right at your fingertips you could be doing?
Yeah.
Do you think we could run through some of those right now?
I'm all ears.
Amazing.
Go.
So let me ask you, right? Do you reach for a coffee, a tea, some other kind of caffeinated beverage first thing in the morning?
Yep, about 4:45, I'll have my cup of coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a habit you might want to consider is hydrate before you caffeinate.
Now,
so,
why would I want to do that?
Okay, so I will say probably 9 out of 10 patients I encounter do not meet a hydration goal for the day that's appropriate for their body's needs, right? So
okay.
Just like we all need more fruits and vegetables, most of us need more water also. So if you can start the day with that, say like, you know what, I'm going to have 8 to 16 ounces and just like pop it off like that before I even get caffeine in my body, you're going to find it probably easier to stick with that throughout the day and probably sip throughout the day, right? So that's one.
I've been drinking a lot of water, but I usually have coffee first, and then that's it for the coffee, although I did have one at about 1 o'clock this afternoon just to wake up and, you know, be fresh for the show today.
Yeah, it's that feeling.
Yes.
I had a Diet Coke probably around that time.
Did you really?
So I understand, yes.
So you're in line with the president and his Diet Coke fetish. All right, good for you. Excellent.
Always and forever.
I don't like diet sodas. Let's talk about this for a minute.
Let's talk about it.
No, you can keep doing your thing first.
Oh, okay.
I'll bring up the diet soda after that.
Oh, I'm always open to speaking about Diet Coke, but again, back to some of that low-hanging fruit, what are easy things you could be doing? So we talk about what can I do in the morning to set myself up for success? Maybe it's that 8 to 16 ounces of water before your coffee. Now, what about your bedtime routine? Because the way we set ourselves up for bedtime, the way we sleep, it has an impact, yes, on hormone levels, etc., that you've probably read. But again, a good night of sleep sets the tone for the day. So right. Do you ever find yourself with something rattling around in your brain for most of the night? Like you can't get it out of your head. And maybe it's like disruptive to sleep, stressors, to-do lists, things of that nature.
Rarely.
That might come up.
I mean, it happened today because the cat woke me up at 4 a.m., woke both of us up at 4 a.m., and I couldn't go back to sleep. I'm up at 4:53 every morning. But yes, things were going through my mind today.
Yeah. So what you might want to consider at bedtime is, can I keep an actual pen, pencil, notepad, and like whatever's, I call it a brain dump. This is not a term that I've coined. It's out there in the universe. But can I take everything that's kind of like rattling around in my brain and transfer it from the brain to a pencil to a piece of paper?
Do you actually
digitally?
Do this?
I do this. Yes, I do it on an index card in a book that I'm reading, so that whatever's going on, I can say, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You have to make that noise when
that's
you do
awesome.
It.
That's awesome. So you
and
really
then,
do... Do you come up with anything good?
And then it works. I don't know if it's about coming up with anything good, but it's about getting everything kind of out of your brain so that you can have a better night of rest and not be so distracted.
How much sleep do you get?
I hover around like 7 hours.
That's where I'm at.
I would love for it to be 8. It's just, it's not happening.
Do you ever take the melatonin?
I do not take melatonin because my understanding is that taking too much melatonin can disrupt your body's natural production of melatonin. So I don't take melatonin. I take magnesium every night.
Really?
Yes.
And what does that do?
It helps, also aids in falling asleep. It does not necessarily help you stay asleep, but it can help you fall asleep.
That's so interesting. I never heard that. I know that if... a woman has had a baby and has preeclampsia, they'll get a magnesium drip. But I had no idea what it was for. But so that helps you sleep.
I can say it's something you might want to look into.
Why? I get plenty. Look, am I not as fit as a fiddle? You come on.
And looks very hydrated too, might I add. Glowing skin for someone who's not doing the hydrate before you caffeinate.
I love water. I mean, to me, that's one of the lowest hanging fruits you can have is water.
I agree. Just go for it, especially if you have a water cooler at your place of work.
All right, what else you got?
Congregate there. Another one centered around bedtime routine. How close to bedtime are you disconnecting from technology? I think it's a great question for everyone to be asking themselves.
Roughly 0.0 seconds.
Exactly.
I was watching a Monmouth basketball game last night when I fell asleep. I don't even like Monmouth.
So, but there they were.
Yep.
Right before bedtime.
Double overtime. Great game.
Yeah. So if you can try and plug your phone in 7 feet away from your bed, the phone is the big one, right? Because that's where all the scrolling and doom is. Wonderful. There you go. You're ahead of the game, but plugging in somewhere, I like this rule of sevens, right? Because it helps you remember it. But if I can say like, hey, it's 70 minutes before my bedtime. So if I want to get into bed at 10 o'clock, can I do 8:50? I'm plugging in my phone 7 feet away from my bed and like getting into bedtime. It's a nice solid amount of time to be disconnecting from, you know, blue light and other stimulation and things like that. And it's all so relevant to how you wake up the next day and the choices that you're going to make around food.
So, all right. Okay. Buying the premise here that good sleep is good for you. How does that affect my choices the next day?
Yeah. Great question. So if you have a less than quality night of sleep, you might find yourself, you know, one, not in having the wherewithal to make the choices that you want to make, right? Because you're tired. But secondarily, having a higher chance of craving carbohydrates, right? So things that are that quick, easy brain energy, that can become your default in time and just like kind of setting you on that path for the day, which we know I've been on this show
many times.
That if you've listened before, I'm not anti-sugar or anti-carbohydrate or anything like that. But you want to be in the right state of mind to make other nourishing choices that you can help set yourself up for success throughout the day.
Nicole Rodriguez is our guest today. It's Diet at Nutrition, 800-348-2551. If you have a question, you can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Before we take a break and then check email and phones and such, I just want to loop back here on this business about the diet soda. Now, I thought it had all kinds of nasty chemicals in it, and, you know, my body's a temple. I'm not going to do that, you know? Why are you laughing? What's so funny? What do you mean?
I love that expression.
My body's a temple?
Yes. Yeah. Temple built to... That's up for... See? It's open. It's open. I love it.
Okay. So anyway, you know, all right, let's talk Diet Coke. Or not? No, let's not get sued. Let's talk
diet soda.
Yes,
let's talk diet soft drinks.
Right.
Pop soda, whatever
so
you might
you're
call
down
it.
With this.
I'm so down with it for a variety of reasons, right? So, like, what purposes can a diet soda serve? And the answer is always, well, it depends on who we're talking about. So, say for example, someone is really in the habit of like, hey, I love the taste of soda, but I'm drinking regular soda. I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to either, you know, reduce my A1C or reduce my risk of going into prediabetes or diabetes. Well, if that's someplace where we could easily slash your sugar intake, it might be like, hey, can you try replacing one of your cans of Coke per day with Diet Coke? Great. We just took a lot of sugar out of your diet. And that could be incremental in many ways until, you know, hopefully most of your beverages are water and seltzer, and maybe there's a Diet Coke in the mix. And it takes time, but we've now removed a lot of sugar that you're not even getting the joy of chewing, right? Where you're not getting that satiation. We're taking that out of your diet, which, please, no one tell me that that's not a good thing, right? Taking regular soda out of the diet. Also, you know, for some people, having a diet soda might be the way they get that sweet fix, and then they can enjoy it and carry on with their day.
But
right?
Does that work?
It
In
can
words,
work.
Doesn't
it
that
depends
just encourage
on the
you to go for the real thing?
No, not necessarily. It depends on the person, depends on the rest of their diet, right? You know, last but not least, when we're talking about the potential detrimental effects of artificial sweeteners and things like aspartame that are in different diet soft drinks.
Cyclamates used to be, right?
It's,
back in the day.
We're looking at, you know, for you to have real risk to things like your gut health and risk of cancer and things of that nature, you'd have to be drinking something like, I think the number is 37 cans of a diet soda per day. And then we might start to say like, okay, like that's a problem. So for someone who's casually having one or two diet sodas a day and everything else is aligned, I'm not really worried about that as a habit.
Nicole Rodriguez is our guest today. It's Diet and Nutrition. I'll tell you funny. Well, before we go to the break, let me tell you about my upbringing.
Please
all right.
Do.
Now, I know your daughter's extremely healthy, right? She's very good. When I was a kid, they used to sell Coke syrup at the beverage center in big cartons. And my father would buy seltzer bottles, and we'd make the strong stuff.
DIY, I love it.
Yeah, let me tell you something. It set us all up for a lifetime of pain. Let's go now and take a break. 800-348-2551. Nicole Rodriguez is here. We'll check the email bag in a moment. Little known fact, I'm super bad. That's Idris Muhammad here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Nicole Rodriguez joins us today. It's Diet and Nutrition. I want to talk a little bit in a moment about all of these seed oils. Now, RFK Jr. has had his confirmation hearings, and there's been quite a bit of chatter about that. But first, let's go to the email bag. Mary writes in, I'm on a restricted diet for over a month and wondering what to do next. FODMAP diet, how to add foods, how long for each food. First of all, what is FODMAP?
Yeah, so FODMAP is a diet that helps you reduce certain chains of carbohydrate that are in certain foods that might cause stomach upset. So it's really largely a diet for people who suffer from IBS. So if you are on that restrictive diet, you should really be working with a registered dietitian or an app like Parsley is one of them, something along those lines, so that you can be guided on exactly when and what to incorporate, because it's definitely not a one sentence answer. You're in for probably several weeks of reintroductions.
And the speed and the selections really make a difference with this?
Yeah. I mean, again, the answer is it depends. I've encountered people who have had a lot of success with that. However, it is a tedious, tedious process of re-adding foods into the diet.
Okay. Number here is 800-348-2551. Before we hit the phones, 800-348-2551. Saw an article in the New York Post today from Mackenzie Beard, who writes, "Are seed oils really that bad for you? Dietitians explain the risk of the, quote, hateful eight." And that's from the New York Post. I'll just read the first couple paragraphs here. "Seed oils are the latest villain in the wellness world, with social media influencers blaming them for everything from headaches to heart disease. The online buzz has gotten so loud, it's now echoing in the halls of Congress, where Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has railed against seed oils in his bid for HHS secretary." All right, so the hateful eight, what is that, Nicole Rodriguez?
So hatred for seed oils is nothing new. This has been circulating for at least 3 years.
Okay.
And when we think about where do we find seed oils, largely, where are we finding some of these oils?
From seeds.
And so they're derived from seeds, but okay. What foods are we finding them in? So I think people make this argument, you know, part of the argument is, oh, this inflammation piece, right? Like, oh, if I have these seed oils, they're going to cause quote unquote inflammation. Whereas if we really take a look at what's going on, can we cook with things like canola oil? Can we use grapeseed oil as a salad dressing? Like, absolutely. All of those things are okay. Where we find a lot of seed oils is, and I'm not one who's against processed and ultra processed foods, but yeah. Hey, if you're eating a bunch of potato chips and other packaged goods and making those regular staples of your diet, then it's not really so much about the quote unquote inflammatory seed oils. It's that your diet probably needs some improvement, right? So if you start replacing some things with foods that are less processed, right? Then
yeah.
We're going to get you to a better place. And, you know, what you're maybe feeling, some people say, oh, I feel like I'm inflamed. And a lot of times the answer is like, no, your diet just needs a lot of improvement. And it's not about one ingredient. And I think that's where like some problems are going to arise, where we just start picking at particular ingredients in foods instead of addressing larger problems like access to fresh foods, access to green spaces where people can walk around and things of that nature. So picking on seed oils is not really going to improve
okay.
the health of
So you're
Americans.
Okay, everything's in moderation with you.
Absolutely okay with right. seed oils in moderation.
Well,
replacing them with beef tallow.
That's what
tallow, excuse my
That's what RFK's
there.
Talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
French
so,
fries done in beef.
Yeah. So
sounds delicious.
Sure. But beef tallow is the second highest saturated fat that there is next to coconut oil. And we know that saturated fats can lead to things like heart disease, right? So it's not really a smart replacement. I'm all about eating animal products, but we don't need to be replacing seed oils with beef tallow necessarily.
So, and again, I know what I've read in this article, and I'll quote again from this article in the Today's Post by Mackenzie Beard, who says, "One of the biggest concerns surrounding seed oils is their high levels of omega-6 fatty acids,
yes.
especially in comparison
yes.
to lower amounts of omega-3s. First of all, what is she talking about?
Yeah, speaking right to this point about let's look at how we can improve diet overall, omega-3 fatty acids are found in things like fish and walnuts and certain seeds, right? So if we're looking to improve that profile in our diet, well, maybe we should take a hard look. And before jumping to, oh, I need an omega-3 fatty acid supplement, which maybe you do, but take a look and say, am I getting the recommended number of servings of fatty fish per week? I can tell you most people I encounter, unfortunately, are not. Am I eating things like walnuts? Am I not? Am I incorporating different seeds or whole seeds or or am I not doing those things, especially with the fish? So omega-3 fatty acids are found in those foods, whereas where are we getting more of these omega-6s? Again, if we're consuming foods that contain a lot of seed oils, then yes, that ratio is going to be not ideal.
Understood.
Does that...
Yeah, I mean, remember, I have, you know, you talked about walnuts. My brain is just slightly larger than a walnut, but I figured that out. So thank you. Our guest today is Nicole Rodriguez. The number is 800-348-2551. You ready to be called on the carpet? You ready?
I think so.
All right, here we go. David writes in, I cannot believe I just heard Nicole say a diet soda or two a day. Not worried about that. That's potentially close to 3,000 diet sodas a year. Diet sodas link. That's not my math.
I'm not following the math, but okay.
300, right?
Yeah, okay.
Diet sodas linked to heart issues, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, gut issues, etc. Extremely irresponsible of you to say that.
Okay.
That's from David.
Okay, David, I beg to differ, and I would love to see, you know, I would love to see the data that everyone calls out here.
And I think David's math skills are on par with mine.
You know what?
That's fine. Anyway, thanks for writing that
in. Thank you.
By the way, Dr. Nora Konarkiewicz, who's screening the calls, we were talking about diet soda earlier, put Fresca in red. You like the Fresca over there? Okay, what's that, grapefruit? Okay.
It's very refreshing, hence the name, Fresca.
This is from Cheryl, and then we'll go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Cheryl writes, I recently learned I have diverticulosis. I'm getting mixed messages about what I should or should not eat. Any advice? And that's from Cheryl.
Yeah, so one of the first things you want to look at is what kind of things am I consuming that have particles that might get literally stuck in your stomach lining, right? So am I consuming, am I consuming black pepper? Am I consuming poppy and sesame seeds? Am I eating things like popcorn where the shells can have remnants as well? So that would be the first place to be looking. And again, because it's on a case-by-case basis, then you might want to work with someone who can guide you through some of the introductions of food, not knowing what stage she's at in her journey. Some people start with a soft diet. Some people might be on liquids for a little bit after that initial flare-up that causes the diagnosis.
The diverticulosis is not the same as diverticulitis, right? Diverticulosis is earlier, I think. It's not as advanced. But I had a doc on here not too long ago and said, you know, they say to stay away from nuts and things like that because they could potentially get caught in the pouches.
Exactly.
Apparently that's not the case. Apparently that myth is gradually going away.
Not with seeds, though.
Oh, well,
I don't think the seed is not a myth. Seeds, black pepper particles and things
like
that.
You know what
I do
with seeds? I make them into delicious seed oil. I have a little press. 800.
I feel great.
800-348-2551 is our number. Nicole Rodriguez is our guest. And, all right. So, let's spin the old wheel here. All right, Jacob, you're in South Glens Falls. Now, I've seen the précis of what you're going to speak about. Bear in mind, it's a family show, and Nicole's daughter is actually in the studio with us. So let's not be too graphic with your description, Daddy-O, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead.
This past year, I've tried to get healthier. I've quit smoking, and I've cut drinking down just about nil. And it seems like my sex drive has plummeted.
You know, a very wise male dietitian once told a group of us, if it's good for the heart, it's good for every other part. Wink, wink. So if we're consuming foods that are geared towards heart health, that might be a step in the right direction.
That's a good point.
Some of those things that we were talking about earlier might apply here, right? How are we doing on omega-3 fatty acids? How's our fiber intake? Are we taking in a large number of antioxidants and things of that nature? I would also wonder, Jacob, what's your relationship like with exercise, cardiovascular activity, maybe even more particularly strength training?
Well, I'm a union laborer, so my work is pretty much workout, you know?
Yeah, I hear it.
Hey, let me ask you a question here. How did you go about quitting smoking, and how long have you quit?
I started in September, and I pretty much went cold turkey. I did have to turn to Zins to, like, just kind of help me get through some of the rough days.
That's
but
awesome, man.
Other than that,
I mean,
yeah, I thought so.
I tried it once. I got off the stuff for about 8 months. I used the lozenges, which were okay, the nicotine lozenges. But after about 8 months, I just fell off the wagon. So good. Keep with it.
What an accomplishment,
that's
right?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. It was time, and it's been working out so far.
Good for you. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. That's the number. We are joined today by Nicole Rodriguez, who is an award-winning dietitian nutritionist based in the New York City metro area. And how's business? What are you doing?
It's really great. I'm seeing a lot of different patients almost exclusively through insurance, so they're not paying me out of pocket, which is really nice.
Is that a new thing?
No.
Are insurance companies more amenable to that now?
I think maybe a little bit more since somewhere around 2020, possibly.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, that's why we have insurance, right?
Yeah.
Get the medical help we need. So
preventative measures,
yes,
always good.
Preventative measures. Very important.
How often do you work out, and how long are you working out?
Currently, about 4 times per week, strength training and walk every day. But I live in a very walkable city.
But you're not a runner.
I'm definitely not a runner. I run a 5K like once every 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Not really my jam, but.
Well, you run a 5K, you said?
Yeah, I'll train for it. Like once every 2 or 3 years, I'll do a charity 5K. And I'll train for it and try and get a great time, and then I don't run again for another couple of years because I don't love it the way I love to walk.
I think it's pretty amazing that you can just pick it up and train a little bit and then run. If you're running away from someone, I could see running 5K. But all right, this is from Tad in Bennington. What's the difference between? Oh, I don't even know if you can give
Let's
me this
see.
Answer.
Let's see.
What's the difference between diet and zero sugar sodas? Is one better than the other?
Okay, so. They do have, so diet has only aspartame in it, and a zero has aspartame and another artificial sweetener. And I apologize, the name of
like
the other
stevia,
one.
Stevia is this, or something?
Don't think that's it, actually. So that's why you get that, like, that taste differential where they really made the zero taste like a soda that contains sugar. They're two totally different flavor profiles. So if we're going to say one better than the other, again, if we're talking about consuming them in moderation, then you should probably choose the one that gives the desired flavor effect so that you can just enjoy it in moderation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't want to be drinking a case a day of either one of them.
You know what they slam down in the newsroom relentlessly? Seltzer. Just straight up seltzer, because it's the fizz more than anything else, you know? And is that bad for you?
I don't think there's anything bad there. Again, over time, can excessive carbonation potentially cause some issues? And can we potentially feel gas, bloating, feelings of fullness in the stomach? Again, case-by-case basis, there's a possibility. But unless we're talking about literally cases, right, like probably okay.
Yeah. Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Nicole Rodriguez is our guest, diet and nutrition today. And you can email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back. A little Peter Frampton for you now.
Black Hole Sun. It's Peter Frampton doing the old Soundgarden classic here on Vox Pop. Hey, don't forget, the lockbox is open all weekend. Our fun drive kicks off Monday morning at 6. We're already halfway there, thanks to you and everything you did this week and last week in the lockbox. Listen, we'll need you. If you want to make a pledge now, WAMC.org. Our guest today is Nicole Rodriguez on this edition of Food Friday. 800-348-2551 if you want to chime in. Did you have something to say before we went to the calls again?
Just how much I appreciate your taste in music.
You're clutching your throat. That's Are you about to
That's
drop
it.
Dead here? What's going on?
I hope not.
All right, fair enough.
Only one Diet Coke today, so I think I'm okay.
Well, we'll see. Maybe some people will call in about it. Okay, well, we'll talk about vinyl. We were just talking about vinyl music, but we'll pick that up after the show. Let's go to Ray in Red Hook. Ray, you're on.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Like most men, I'm confused. But that's just probably because I'm a man. But I was always taught that in moderation of everything is the best way to look at anything. So 30 Cokes a day or whatever obviously is not right. But we've been very confused lately. We get a report last year, red wine is good for us. One glass of red wine. Now it's red wine's not a good thing. Eggs are good for us. I was always taught no eggs. Whole milk, skim milk, very confusing. And then the one thing that I can't understand is I see nutritionists like yourself all say the same thing about five fruits or vegetables a day. To get the proper what you need, you'd have to eat like five or six apples a day. Then you have no room for any other food. Do you understand the question?
No, I dig it. So what do you think?
I do. So thank you for calling in with that, because if we look at history of, like, for example, the cover of Time magazine over the past 30 years, and when they talk about food, it's like, oh, butter's in, butter's out, eat eggs, don't eat eggs, have cereal, don't have cereal. When you lean into, I think, Ray, some of the conventional wisdom that sounds like you kind of heeded in your youth of moderation and everything, yes, that's going to probably put you on a pretty solid track, right?
So are you looking at me and saying that?
I'm you too, Ray.
Ray
here. Yes.
Because I'm not on
this
a solid
Ray,
track. All right,
Ray, Ray in Red Hook, Ray in the studio, everyone here.
Yeah, I'm off the track.
So this concept of moderation, yeah. So the red wine keeps going in and out. Do we want it? Do we not want it? If you're having a glass of red wine and it's within the limits of what's considered right now moderate drinking, which is one drink a day for women and two drinks a day per men, then you know what? The occasional glass of red wine, yes, you're probably fine. Eggs, that's a whole different story right now. Do we want to buy eggs when they're $13 a dozen?
You can afford a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. As far as, you know, whole milk versus skim milk, again, it depends. Is that the one source of saturated fat in your diet for the day? Or are we going from whole milk to a fatty steak and, you know, a baked potato with butter? Then maybe, you know what, maybe I want to have the skim milk instead, right? So it's moderation, but there's also nuance. What there is very little nuance on is, you're correct, this concept of adding more produce to the diet and adding a variety. And when we start to look at that breakdown of what actually counts as a serving, it becomes a lot more digestible, puns intended always, right? So if we're looking at, okay, well, what is a serving? What is a serving of some kind of lettuce? Okay, that's a cup. You could probably tolerate that. Half a cup of cooked vegetables. You could probably get a full cup in at dinner. Boom, there's two servings. I had an apple. Bam, there's another serving. A banana. Ooh, there we go. And when you start to look at it in that context, it's not insurmountable. And I would say, if there's one thing you're going to work on, make that the thing that you work on.
Really?
I mean, at
your house, are you serving 97 servings of vegetables and fruits every day?
Not 97. My daughter is right here shaking her head.
I should put her on mic and find out the truth.
Yeah, she would tell the truth. But, you know, it's about making it habitual. Like when I eat, and it used to be five a day, right, is the slogan. And now it's have a plant. And that's like just your cue when I'm sitting down to eat. Is there some kind of plant, ideally a fruit or a vegetable, on my plate? And you start cueing yourself to that and realizing, wait, if that's not present, my plate is kind of incomplete throughout the course of the day.
Yeah.
Over time, the magic ingredient.
What other kind of plant can you eat? You got a fruit or you got a vegetable? What are you going to do? Eat
know.
A tree?
Do you eat succulents? I don't know.
What's
kidding.
A succulent?
I'm totally
cactus,
kidding.
Cactus, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, they're delicious. Ray, do you eat cactus?
No, I don't. But I do have a problem that I haven't found anything that I don't like to eat or drink, so I really should be a 300-pound alcoholic, but ouch. I do like everything.
Ah, well, okay, well, good for you. I would suggest not doing that, but thank you for the call, and good luck, my friend. 800-348-2551 is our number. Let's go to the email bag, and then we'll go back to the phones. This is from our friend John, who says, we were taught in culinary school that vegetables, if cooked properly, were more nutritious than their raw versions because some fibers would break down and allow more nutrients out. Is this true? That's the first part of his question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is largely true for certain types of vegetables, but also the cooking method matters. You don't want long exposure to a high heat, but what he's saying is true, is that, like, for example, like cooked tomatoes, that releases more lycopene, or I should say makes the lycopene, that antioxidant, more bioavailable. Cooking with some kind of fat makes, again, vitamin A, vitamin K that you might find in leafy greens, because we're talking about fat soluble vitamins.
Right.
They will be more bioavailable, more easily absorbed by the body when they're prepared with some fat.
Uh-huh.
So there is definitely truth there. Spot on. And if they're cooked properly, ideally by someone from who's been through culinary
CIA,
school,
yeah,
they're going to be delicious and you're probably going to eat them. And that's the really important part.
To be
right?
honest with you, I've never had anything John's cooked. He's the greatest mixologist on earth.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah. But I mean, he cooks too, obviously. He knows how to. His second question, how much nutrition is there in mushrooms, either raw or cooked?
We've had this. I love it. We've had this question
really
before.
With me?
Yes,
oh, okay.
Absolutely.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay, so again, like the answer is, it depends a little bit on type, how it's grown, etc. There's a little bit of protein. There's some vitamin D in there. But also, what does a mushroom give you is that volume in a dish too, right? So they are not calorically dense, so it's another great thing to be adding in the mix of your vegetables, so that you're taking up some room in a meal, right? Mm. And mushrooms being a great way, grocery prices being the way they are, and I'm sure John, is that this gentleman's name?
Good
I'm sure John would do a better job at this than I would, but using things like mushrooms to stretch animal-based proteins, right? Using them as a mix-in for things like your meatballs, your meatloaf, and things like that, and then reducing the saturated fat content overall.
Are
so,
you a mushroom fan?
I don't prepare them myself. If someone else makes them, I'm all about it.
How about you? You a mushroom fan? No, most kids aren't, and I never was. My kids aren't either, and I'm kind of digging them now. You know, you can make, if you do them right, it's kind of like tofu. If you do it right, they can be very good.
Yes.
All right, let's
Agreed.
Go back to the phones here. We'll go to lovely Somers, New York.
Let's go.
We'll go to Cookie. Hey, Cookie, you're on.
Hi there. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Cookie.
I am so lucky that there's a nutritionist on today. So I have a few questions, but I'll just say one or two.
Okay.
What does one who is 90 years old, what diet is best for one who is 90 years old, shrinking and gaining weight, and has constipation?
All right. Mm.
So gaining weight and constipated?
Right, and shrinking at the same time. I have lost 3 inches already.
Ah, okay. So getting shorter, which
happens
totally normal. A little weight gain, probably healthier at that point than a dramatic weight loss. As for constipation, you know, body movement can help aid bowel movement. So moving around a little more, if you are bodily able to do so, might help there. And then I would also encourage you to take a look at what is the role of fiber in my diet currently, right? Or have you tried some of the traditional things like a prune juice or a couple of stewed prunes with a, you know, with a lunch or a dinner, something of that nature. However, I think it's also important to look at your diet at 90 years old and say, what do I enjoy eating? And let me make sure I'm not cutting those things out.
I mean, Cookie, you're 90. Yeah. You've been doing pretty good.
Yeah, you've done the darned thing. Like
my clothes don't fit anymore.
I hear that.
And yeah, I have gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And I walk, so I'm active. But is there a place I can go to find out what kind of a diet I should be on?
Yeah. Again, I would take a closer look at your fiber, because you might be retaining weight if you're not having bowel movements, and it might not be actual adipose tissue, you know, fat tissue, but it might be that constipation and
adding some fiber in.
Well, you'd be surprised. Bloating. That's not always first. Those are two different things, right? So you might be having stomach distension and feeling backed up, right? If you're not able to have bowel movements, which is different than the actual gain of fat tissue over time. So
fiber.
So I would start there. Absolutely. That's a great place to start.
Cookie, what do you think?
Well, I have another question.
Sure.
So oatmeal for breakfast with chia seeds and flax, crushed chia and flax seeds. That's supposed to be fiber, right?
Yeah. Is that what you're doing currently?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And what else throughout the day?
Well, I'm not very hungry, but so at night I have a salad every night with a bunch of greens and a protein, like tofu or beans or something like that.
Mm. Do you think your water intake is on par? Because sometimes we can be having the opposite thing happening, where we're taking in adequate fiber, but there's not hydration to help work the fiber through the system, and that can also cause constipation.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think my water intake is okay. I don't have wrinkled fingers anymore.
I didn't know that caused that. That's interesting. All right. Well, Cookie, thank you very much, and appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. How much water do you drink a day, Nicole Rodriguez?
Oh, probably 4 liters, somewhere in that.
4 liters. How many 8-ounce glasses is that?
I go in half-liter bottles,
which is a lot.
Where I kind of get that number from. But I talk a lot all day. Like you, I talk a lot all day, and I need to...
I can't believe you made it through the whole show without having to leave. Good for you. let's see. Oh, a couple people wrote in about diverticulitis. Dr. Laura wrote in from Sunderland. Diverticulosis is the outpouching of the colon wall due to the typically low-fiber Western diet. Diverticulitis is when these pouches become irritated or infected. These infections can land a patient in the hospital. High-fiber diet advised. And that's Dr. Laura.
So we had a losis, not a litis.
Right.
Okay. I see. Okay.
And then another person wrote in about diverticular disease, NIDDK. Attached is a copy of info on a diet. All right, well, I'll look at it perhaps. Any number of reliable medical sources will say advice on restricting seeds, nuts, and popcorn has no evidence and is outdated. High-fiber diet, important, though.
Still out there from my patients and their doctors.
Yeah.
That's still the first line.
I'm sure that some doctors...
Yeah, still advising.
All right. Let's see. This is from Roy, and then we'll go back to the phones. Roy writes in, wondering what you think about leaky gut and histamine overload.
Leaky gut is not quite recognized as a...
What does it even mean?
As a diagnosis.
What is it?
There's that. It's often connected with things like SIBO, short intestinal bowel obstruction.
Ah, okay.
Right. So it's kind of like clustered in there. You know, I would probably go to a gastroenterologist if you suspect leaky gut
plan.
And find out what's really going
and
on there.
We will have, of course, gastroenterologists on Vox Pop Medical Monday throughout the year. What's histamine overload? I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. So histamine and lysine kind of like act opposite one another in foods. So some people think like if I'm getting a histamine overload, is it affecting my immune response? Again, something you want to probably take like a really lengthy diet protocol, like, you know, recall with someone and figure out if that's really going on. Not something I've encountered.
Right. And not something we could really parse in the 2 minutes we have remaining. All right. Why don't we go to Millie in Bennington, Vermont, and put a wrap on this thing? Millie, go ahead.
Oh, great. This is for the 90-year-old. I'm 82. And of late, after being put on artificial, I don't know what it was, you've got to have the papaya and the pineapple juice. They are both digestive aids, and believe me, they work overnight.
Really?
And look on the internet. I bet it says the same thing. I did some reading. This is not out of my head. It really works.
Okay. What do you think?
It's the pineapple and the papaya. Both taste great. You eat it with the meal, and it's delicious.
Well, I love both of those things, although the pineapple juice, you know, it'll give me a little of the old esophageal heartburn, a little irritation. All right, Nicole, we have about a minute to go. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you want to add some fresh pineapple into your diet and see where that takes you, I don't think that could necessarily do harm.
Go ahead, Millie.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
Get the dull big quart of pineapple juice. It melts in your mouth.
Oh, delightful.
That's
you will
delicious.
Be addicted.
Okay. Millie, thank you.
We're going to leave. And no sugar. There's no sugar in it. It's just
wait a minute. It's sweet
wonderful.
As can be. What do you it has to be sugar in it.
No added
sugar.
Oh,
no added sugar.
No
oh,
added
see,
sugars.
No sugar.
Okay. All right, Millie. Well, listen, we got to I'm out of time, my friend, but I thank you so much for calling and appreciate it very much. All right, Nicole Rodriguez, if people want to track you down and find out what you're doing and talk to you, how do they find you?
On ZocDoc, Nicole Rodriguez,
okay.
RD. You'll find me there.
Are you on like the Twitter or the Facebooks or the internet?
You can find me on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
So you're off of Instagram and everything else?
Have not been active on Instagram, but you'll find me on LinkedIn.
All right, fair enough. Well, listen, it's very nice that you come here and try to get me on the straight and narrow, and it's never going to work. Pineapple juice. I'm down with it.
There we go. No matter how you mix it.
Do you? That's exactly what I was thinking. All right. Well, thanks for being here. Support comes from Broad and Taylor, makers of bread baking tools and equipment. For listeners who are interested in beginning their sourdough journey, recipes, how-to videos, and store at Broad, spelled B-R-O-D, at Taylor.com. Thanks again to Nicole Rodriguez for being here today. Thank you for listening. Interesting calls and interesting emails, and I thank you. Thanks to Zach Malloy, despite the early chaos of the show when the mics were screwed up, he fixed it. He and Rob fixed it. So well done, sir. Thanks to Dr. Nora Konarkiewicz, who screened the calls today. Listen, the fun drive starts on Monday at 6 a.m., and we hope that you are with us. If you've already done it, you have a pass for a couple of days. But if you haven't done it yet, you can pledge now at WAMC.org. We're over halfway done, and we haven't started the actual all-day fun drive yet. We will see you Monday at 6 a.m. Have a great weekend.